Welcome back to Range Anxiety TV, and today we're delving away from the EV spectrum of things that I normally cover. We're going to do a few different topics today that you'll see over the next few weeks. We're getting into big dirty old diesels today. Well, actually not so big, but it is a staple of the diesel 4x4 market in Australia. We have the venerable Ford Ranger PX2. Commonly tuned cars, common for tuners to make mistakes with them too. So, you know, things that you might think are obvious when it comes to tuning these things, particularly this is an MY17 with 155,000 Ks on the clock. You can't go at it like a bull at a gate like you would, say, a brand new one. I'm going to cover today some of the considerations that you have to keep in mind when you tune and work on these cars. So let's just start with the bit under the bonnet. You might think that there is nothing special about the old 3.2-litre five-cylinder Duratorque TDCi Ford engine, and those keen subscribers and watchers would know that I've got my space wizard wand out. That's because I have little short arms and this car is quite tall. It's got some big muddies on it, as we'll look at later. Five-cylinder engine, it's a good thing. It can sound really good with an open exhaust on it. Sounds like, you know, half a Lambo V10. I kid you not. But there are some things you've got to keep in mind when you tune them, particularly when they're, you know, maybe halfway through their life at, you know, 155,000 odd Ks like this one. The first is, and we'll look at this when we go to the dyno side of it, is that the little turbocharger over here on this side of the engine, you don't want to just ask for gobs of boost from it, because they are a turbocharger that is reasonably stress standard. So small increases in boost pressure, not big increases of boost pressure. The magic number seems to be about 21, 22 PSI of actual manifold pressure. You go over that and you're going to start running into trouble with turbocharger longevity. So in a car like this, or a ute like this, this is something that I wouldn't do. Keep the boost under control. So, you know, you don't get your space wizard wand out and say, I'm going to give you 30%. Look, there's so much crap that goes on in the diesel tuning game. 30% power, 30% torque, 30% better fuel economy. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. If you want the thing to actually last any amount of time. This is why, you know, when you're not using a dyno to do it, like some of the backyarders, it's not something that you just make stupid claims on. You actually put the vehicle on the dyno, you calibrate it properly to its condition and its internal sort of state of tune, and then just calibrate to suit that. So that's what we're going to do with this vehicle. If we can get 15%, 18%, 20% around there somewhere, I'll be quite happy, particularly if I know that we're actually working on and maintaining the durability side of it, not trying to make a coal roll and drag car. Because while it might sound good and you might get a nice dyno sheet to start with, you're not going to like the repair costs. Tuning these things is actually a science, and that's why you use tools like a dyno as measurements for that science. So let's go and have a look at what these things do on the dyno. The most common question we normally get asked at the very start of this, or when someone is booking in for their Ranger or any sort of 4x4 ute tune, is how much power is it going to make? Well, that depends on one crucial thing in particular. Forget about the condition for a minute. This here, the wheel and tyre combination that you put on the vehicle, will determine not how much gain you make, but it'll determine where you start and where you finish. The bottom line is this: the bigger and heavier the wheel and tyre, the lower the power you're going to make. It's always been this way. It's called physics. Now, cast your mind to something like Formula One or drag racing, where they use super light wheels and tyres that you can pick up and throw around. Why do you think they do that? Because there's less energy. As you accelerate, energy has to be put into accelerating this mass. And it's then stored in the wheel and tyre, that energy under Newton's laws. It's very simple physics that you then have to brake and slow down and dissipate that energy from back as heat through the brake system. So the bigger and heavier the wheels and tyres, the worse economy you're going to get, the lower power you're going to make, the lower torque you're going to make. But, you know, it will go better off-road. What I tell some people to do if they only go away once or twice a year is don't drive around with your muddies and your big tires on them. Save yourself a shed ton of money in fuel and general maintenance on the vehicle and use your road tires when you're on the road. And a couple of times a year you go away, put your muddies on. So that's just something to consider. We talk gains in percentage, not gains in actual numbers, start and finish, because it all depends on how much power you're throwing away through your driveline. Some of you may not have known this already. I mean, it's just basic physics, but yeah, those of you that didn't, think about it. The smaller and lighter, or the lighter the tire and wheel combo you've got, the better it's gonna go and the less fuel it's gonna use. So there you go, have a think about that. But now it's time to have a look at the results. Okay, here we are in front of the big screen. You've just seen it run on the dyno. You've seen Gareth run it up after we performed a couple of calibrations. Let's have a look at some of the interesting head scratching bits of this. So with my back to you for a second, I'll just get the numbers through my head. We started out with a nice round, even 100 kilowatts at the wheels through those big heavy wheels and tires. No miracles. That's about right. Okay, we dyno these in fourth gear. This is an automatic, 6-speed automatic, fourth gear. 100.7 kilowatts at about 3,100 RPM. Post-tune, that's 117 kilowatts. So that is a pretty big gain. That is a good percentage. You know, you're gonna look at that and you're gonna feel that through the seat of your pants. But how do we come about that? We'll move down the screen a little bit now. Boost pressure here. We've gone to a maximum, well, not a maximum, but in the sweet spot, we've gone from 16 PSI to 19 PSI. So it's only a 3 PSI difference in boost, quite small. Down lower in the range, it's just above 20. It's just below that 22, 23 number that I was talking about earlier. So this should be quite reliable. But the big thing is, when you're making all this extra power and torque, we're making, sorry, I don't have it up on this screen, the torque, we're making about 80 Newton meters, which is a pretty good gain, you know, pretty solid gain, 80 to 95, I think it was. The big thing here is, though, is the air fuel ratios. Now, with diesels, people always say, I don't want the car running lean. That's good for petrol things. Actually, diesels actually reduce engine operating temperature and reduce risk to the engine. The leaner they are, they just make less power. So the richer you make a diesel, the more, you know, likely you are to have a mechanical failure, burn a piston, or do something horrible to it like that. So we were actually able, with this one, to make these gains in the order of 17-odd%, right? At its advanced age, 17%, actually it's only 6 years old, just does, it's a real work car, by being the red number slightly leaner than the original fuel setting. So not only are we making the extra power and torque, we're actually doing it with a lower exhaust gas temperature, or very similar to stock. So we shouldn't be overly stressing the engine. I'm just watching something else out the corner of my eye here. It is a work day after all. Without overly stressing the engine, which means we've got like kind of a win-win situation with this kind of tune. So overall, this is what I'd expect. And the Space Wizard Wand likes this. That's what I would expect out of tuning a car of this age and doing it properly using a dyno. You know, if I was just to plug something in, like my normal Ranger base that I put into this was far richer. And if I wasn't using a dyno, I wouldn't have known this. And the guy wouldn't have got very good economy, the client in this case, and possibly may have been other issues. But because I'm able to measure it properly and do the job properly, I'm able to get the result that we promised him. And overall, this should be a very good result. So no matter who you go to or what you're thinking of when it comes to tuning your 4x4 diesel or your ute, whatever, make sure that it's someone that knows what they're talking about and is able to do it properly. So with that, I hope that was just a nice little more technical video. We're going to move on to some other stuff now, but thank you once more for watching Range Anxiety, brought to you by Stellantis.